on tonight. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. We were kind of unpacking these verses a little bit last week, and we will continue that. Kind of here in the middle of it, we're looking at constructing a spiritual building. And looking at verses 13 through 15, kind of in the middle of this, measuring up. And noting the measure, if you will. And so we kind of pick up his sentence, kind of mid-sentence. This is one of those long Pauline sentences. It just kind of goes on for verse after verse after verse. So we'll break into the sentence, but he says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." And so as we look at measuring, again, keeping that building idea going with our spiritual maturity, any building, you're going to have tape measures, you're going to have measuring rods, you're going to have all sorts of things to use to measure, and we have a measure as well, and it is ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the measure, the standard toward which we are to grow. He is the goal, if you will, and we'll see that later in another point, but he is the measure. We have the Bureau of Standards and Weights where we can go to find how long is a yardstick supposed to be. Well, it's 36 inches, but how long is an inch?
An inch.
Yeah. Well, do we have the right measurement for that inch? Do we have the right measurement for the yardstick? You know, the Old Testament speaks about, you know, those proper weights and balances, those weights and measures. I think there's an old Norman Rockwell painting of a meat shop with the butcher with his finger on one spot and the buyer on the other spot trying to overbalance each other because, of course, the butcher wants lighter weight but yet more price for it. So there's that going on between the two balances trying to get the better of the other. And so those proper balances, those proper measures we need, and Christ is our measure. That is what we are looking at to see, do we measure up? It's not measuring ourselves by ourselves. We'll see that verse later, but it is Christ is the measure. We are called upon to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And so he is the measure, as he notes here. It says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and under the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And I think if we all are honest with ourselves, we would say, I'm not there yet. I don't have that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm not there. I'm still a work in progress. And may we not grow weary in well-doing, and may we not seek to give up, because it is a lifelong process. And as I've often said, you know, our final is when we're in his presence, when this effort that has been going on in this life will be complete, and the job will be done. It's not done until we're in God's presence. And so we must keep on keeping on and seeking after that, because we are going to have our ups and downs. We're going to stray to the right and to the left off of the path of seeking that fullness, but that ultimately, again, should still be our goal, looking unto Jesus Christ. I find it interesting. It's not necessarily purposeful, but I find it interesting that that thought keeps coming back in these first few months of looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He's that measure. He's the one that we're walking towards. He's the one that we are seeking to be like. And we are not to remain spiritually immature. As we see in verse 14, he says, why we reach this, we seek after this measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so Paul gives us that example of children who tend to be in our, you know, physiological realm, immature. I think I've told the illustration that I had as a child. I came up when I was probably 4 or 5 that I knew about where boys and girls come from. I had it settled. Boys came from the dads and girls come from the mom. I mean, it was scientific. I'm the oldest, and I have 2 little sisters. Guess who went away and brought back the 2 little sisters? Mom did. She went away, and Enid was born. A couple years later, she went away. Karen was born. Okay, girls have girls, and guys have guys. I thought that pretty reasonable at 4 or 5. I mean, Karen came along when just before I turned 4, but as I got older, I found out, no, that's not how it works. That may seem reasonable and logical to a 4 or 5-year-old, but biologically speaking, that's not how this works. And so we need to be mindful on the spiritual realm of the truths of God's Word so that we are growing properly. And we are not tossed about and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And we do that by studying the Word of God, seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping Him as our measure, and moving forward with that so that when false teachings do surface, when these that are seeking to move us away by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, we will see it for what it is. Wrong, not the proper teachings that I need to grow in Christ likeness, and I can move forward for the Lord in the right way. So we're not to remain spiritually immature, we are to grow. Hebrews chapter 5, and we've looked at this before, verses 12 through 14, the writer of Hebrews notes that to his readers, for what time that ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, verses 12 through 14 there in chapter 5, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of a full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so, again, the writer of Hebrews was chiding them, getting after them, admonishing them, you should be at a point where you're teaching others. Instead, we're having to come back and teach you these things that are the basics. You need to be on moving away from the milk and onto the meat of the word so that you can teach others. And God reminds us of that we are to grow in grace. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it's a command, but grow. And we're not the ones that make us grow. Again, we can't make ourselves more spiritual. We can't mature ourselves spiritually. But we can put ourselves in the place that God matures us. How do we do that? By reading this book, by hearing it preached, by studying this book, by memorizing this book and getting the words into us. It is the bread of life. It is the water of life. And it is that which God uses to mature us. He does the maturing process. It's His life. And He's the one that matures us with His word. So we must get it in, and then we must be yielded to the Holy Spirit working it in our lives to mature us. So that we don't say no when God is trying to say, yes, this is the right way, walk ye in it. This is the teaching of the Scriptures, let's go with this way. But that's not what I've... We need to set those things aside when God clearly shows us this is the truth of God's Word. This is how it is to be fleshed out in your life to live accordingly and then go forward with it. So we need to be in that position of yieldedness for God to use his word to change us, to mold us, to shape us, to mature us. Because we are to be growing up into Christ in all things, as we see in verse 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Because God's plan for us for as believers is to be like Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, in that passage there, he talks about many things. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. God predetermined, he knew ahead of time what he wanted to do with believers. Those of you that know Christ as your Savior, God has a plan and purpose in your life. And he notes it here, it is to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be molded and shaped like him, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren, to finish the verse, but we're noting that first part, to be conformed to the image of his Son. God wants us Christ-like. And when we look at the life of Christ, I trust that, yes, we are awed, and then we're also humbled. And I think at times wondering, how in the world can my life be like Christ? Because again, we tend to look at it in our human realm. Well, I can't be that. Humanly speaking, I can't be that, and we would be correct. Humanly speaking, we can't. And we would be like, much like the disciples that we see in Sunday school hour, there in John chapter 6, after hearing those teachings from Christ, these things are too hard for us, we're out of here. As he moved from the physical to the spiritual, they didn't want anything with it. They wanted the physical benefits of being with Christ. Again, as I've said, the fish and chips crowd. As long as he was feeding us. Yes, we take in that teaching that he was doing beforehand and afterhand, but man, we're here for the food. We're here for the miracles. But this stuff about a spiritual walk with him, a spiritual life, I didn't sign up for that. And, you know, out they go. God has that as our outcome. We'll be conformed to the image of Christ. And really, that is a joy to see happen, both on an individual basis, to see how God has changed us. And yes, there may be times when we want to be changed a whole lot faster than we are. As things are revealed, as emotions and things that we see going on that, you know, we reread the fruit of the Spirit and we look at those things and we wonder, how in the world can I don't know. I look at the list of the works of the flesh beforehand, I'm part and parcel with that stuff. That's going to be put aside and these things are going to come in? Yes, they can. As we yield to God's working with his word in our hearts. And we may be gung-ho for that, and we should be. And too oftentimes we are so gung-ho for it that it doesn't happen as fast as we would like it to happen. That we then get discouraged and say, well, it's just not working. No, it's not working on your timetable. But we're not working on your timetable. We're working on God's timetable. He's the one doing the change from the inside out. And so we need to step back and take a breath and say, okay, God, obviously I need to learn patience because it's not going as quickly as I want. And so, Lord, you're teaching me patience. I need to wait on you. I need to be still and know you and rely on you and trust you. And God will do his work. He's promised. And then we get to see the joy of God working in our fellow believers, within our church family. I mean, that's, to me, one of the greatest joys I have as a pastor, is to watch Christ being formed in the congregation. As we interact with each other, as I see that maturing take place. I mean, that's, to me, that's one of the greatest blessings as a pastor, is to see that God is using his word in the hearts. And it doesn't have to be because of what I say from the pulpit. And there's been many a times that I've had somebody come to a visiting speaker who has spoken on something that I have spoken on, but it clicked. And they tell him, you know, I was really blessed. God really spoke to my heart. It helped change me. I'm not upset with the individual or with the speaker that is like, hey, wait a minute. You know, 2 months ago I spoke on this very thing. Why weren't you? They weren't ready for it yet. The light bulb moment wasn't then, it was now. And I need to be rejoicing about that. Mine was maybe just sowing the seed. He watered and got the harvest. As Paul reminds us there in Corinthians, who's Paul and who's Apollos? We're one. We're the same. We're here looking for the harvest. And the harvest belongs to God. And so whether we're sowing or whether we're watering, we're all rejoicing in the harvest that's accomplished. And that is a joy to see. And so, yes, I am not one to get after the person and say, well, I just spoke on that. Why didn't you get it then? Or be upset with the speaker and say, well, I'm not having you back. You're blessing my congregation more than when I gave a similar message 2 months ago. No, that's not, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to rejoice that God's word was used and people caught on and are growing. And so we are to grow up in all things, to be Christ-like. And as we come to 2 Peter verses, chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, again, he notes this here. That is to be like Christ. He says, Peter knows, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I'll just stop there for a moment. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God's letting us know, I'm not leaving you with missing parts. How many of us have come across something when we were given a package to build something and we found some missing parts? You know, we put something back together again and we have some extra parts. I was like, uh-oh. We don't have that from God in this process. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, self-control, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What passage was that?
2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. Yep, chapter 1. And so we see these things that, yes, we would attribute to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity or love. Very similar to, again, Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit. But we have those because of the promises that God's given to us, that we can be partakers of it. Because the divine nature, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ, He resides in us. And He can impart these things to us. He can grow us in these things as we allow Him to do so, so that we can see Christ formed in us. Because again, ultimately, as we touched on at the beginning, our standard is not ourselves. Too often, that's what we do. We look at fellow believers, whether within our congregation or within greater Christianity, even within the Bible. And we end up using them as our measuring stick. But are they our measure? Are we using the right measuring stick? No. It's not Paul. It's not Peter. It's not David. It's not Samuel. It's not Daniel. It's not Ezekiel. It's not John MacArthur. It's not anybody else out there. It's not me, your pastor. It's not the deacons. It's not the trustee. It's not our former pastor. Nothing against these men or myself, but we're not the measure. It's not look at pastor and see, okay, how do I measure up to him? No. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the measure. Paul notes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, when he says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." It is foolish for us to try to look at someone else and use them as our measure. Because often, but at times, those measures are faulty. There are far too many men in the ministry that have disqualified themselves. I'll pick on my group of people. There's been some talk that there's something going on in the water around Dallas. There have been a lot of pastors of churches in the Dallas area that have been stepping down over the last few years because of wrong things. They've disqualified themselves from being in the ministry. Well, if they're our measure, what happens to us when our measuring stick breaks and falls apart? Now, we're going to fall apart. Because our measure fell apart. But when our measure is the Lord Jesus Christ, is He going to fall apart on us? Is He ever going to unqualify Himself? No, He's God. He's perfect. He is everything that He wants us to be. And so when we keep our eyes again on Him, and He remains our focus, He remains the point that we are looking to grow towards, we're not going to be disappointed. Man will disappoint us because we're sinful creatures. But Christ will never disappoint us. He will always be there for us. He resides within us. He watches over us. He is more concerned about this than we are. And He's there to help us. We can call out to Him. And He will be there, He will answer, and He will help us. But He is the measure, not others, He is. And so we all will remain, yes, a work in progress. And that's okay. We won't reach it in this life because we have this imperfect body, we still have this sinful nature. And so we will always have that struggle. And God understands that, and he's there to help us. We'll move on next week to pursuing the goal as God seeks to grow us and mature us.